Today she is Masechta Babas with Daf Chav Zayin. We will begin on Daf Chav Vav Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom with the words Ve'elam Medetanan. As we had learned in the previous shir, Ula taught us that a tree gets nutrition for its roots for 16 amos in every direction from the tree. And the Gemara, and therefore Ula taught us that if somebody's tree has its roots going into somebody else's property, so in other words, that tree is actually getting nourishment from not my own property, so I'm a gazlan, and the halacha is that the first fruits of the Shivas Haminim have to be brought to Eretz Yisrael. The halacha is, says Ula, that you can't use those fruits to bring the Bikurim. You can't call those fruits Me'artzecha, your fruits. They're not your fruit. But the Gemara wanted to know, where does Ula get this number of 16 amos from? So the Gemara quoted a Mishnah at the end of our shir yesterday that actually did not end up with the same number. Because as we explained, if we say that a tree roots, essential roots, offer 16 amos, which means 16 amos in each direction, which is 32 amos, 16 plus 16. 32 by 32 will give you 1,024 square amos. And we had a Gemara yesterday that gave us just 250 amos per tree. So the Gemara brings another Mishnah. Element of Tanan, the Mishnah says, Shloshe Ilona shall give them the Adam. If you have three trees in a vineyard together, even though those three trees are owned by three different individuals, Hareulu Mitztarfin, V'charsh and Kabei Shabishvilan. As we discussed in the previous year, during the Shemitah year, plowing is usur, plowing is prohibited, but actually plowing is prohibited midrabanan already from Pesach of the year before Shemitah. However, if you have an orchard, then Chazal, according to the opinion of most Rishonim, which is the way we're going to learn our Gemara, allow for plowing to continue until Shavuos before the Shemitah year. There are opinions that say it could continue up till Rosh Hashanah of the Shemitah year, but the opinion of most Rishonim is it's up till Shavuos. So the Mishnah says that if you have these three trees together in an area of a beis saw, then you could plow up till Shavuos. Now, as we said in the previous year, the area of a beis saw is 50 by 50 amma. 50 by 50 amma is 2,500 square ammas. If you take 2,500 square amos, kama havelhu, trei alpha v'chamish meir gamidi, if you take 2,500 square amma, and you divide it by three, l'kol chad kama moti, how much area will be designated to each of these three trees? Tamni meir v'tolosin v'tolso v'tolso. 833 and a third. Ask the Gemara, akati nefishalei de Ula. Ula's number, as we said at the beginning of our shir, just to review, is a area of 32 by 32, which gives you 1,024 per tree. So Gemara's question is that Ula is saying that the tree gets 16 amos for where it gets its primary nutrition, and that's the main roots. Ask the Gemara, it doesn't work. 1,024 is much more than 833. If you actually want to do the math, 833 amma would give you about 14 half ammas in each direction around the tree, not 16 amma. Answers the Gemara, like duck. Ula wasn't that precise in his number. Ask the Gemara, aim the meaning like duck. We find in Shas, says the Gemara, that when Tanoim Amoraim mentioned numbers, they weren't that accurate. But when are they not accurate? L'chumra. If there's a chumra by not being accurate, then they'll say a number. L'chula l'idok mi'aminin. So says the Gemara, let's think about it. Really the number, as we just explained, how much is considered the essential area of nutrition for the tree, is not 16 amma, but really 14 and a half amma. And therefore, if my tree goes into your property, 14 and a half amma into your property, the roots of my tree, the first 14 and a half amma of the roots of my tree are going into your property, I shouldn't use that, I can't bring that fruit for Bikurim. It's gazela. I'm living off your property without permission. But that's not what Ula said. Ula said the number is 16. So let's think what's going to happen. Let's say my tree, my roots only enter 15 amas into your property. According to the real halacha, it's no problem. Because 14 and a half amma, as we just said, is the crucial number. I'm going to have to learn what Ula said. Ula said 16 amma. So I'm not going to use that fruit for Bikurim. How can I? I'm going to not bring that fruit for Bikurim. I'm obligated to bring it Bikurim. It's not living off your property. So we can't say that Ula was imprecise when a leniency is going to develop where I'm going to really supposed to bring Bikurim and I'm not. Answers the Gemara, Mi Savrit Beribua Kamrinin, Begula Kamrinin. The number that we came up with of 1,024 was based on the tree being a middle of a square. And if the tree is a middle of a square, we take an area of 32, 16 plus 16 in every direction, and that's how we got 32 by times 32, we got 1,024 square amma. So I think, well, we're not supposed to look at it in a square. We're supposed to look at it as if it's a circle in a square. Mi savrit b'ribul kaminin. Don't look at it as if it's a square. Bigula kaminin. Look at it as if it's a circle. Now, says the Gemara, a mathematical formula. Michti, kama meruba yasal al igol. If you draw a circle and a square, and then you compare the area of that square versus the area of the circle, how much larger will the area of the circle, of the square, be over the area of the circle? Because obviously you're going to lose the corners when you draw the circle and the square. It's going to be a quarter bigger. So that means, if you take the 1,024 number that we're working with, and now we say that don't look at it as a square, but rather look at it as a circle in a square, we have to deduct a quarter. That means you have to deduct 256 from the 1,024. Kama meruba yasala igel, how much larger is a circle? How much larger is the area of a square versus the circle in that square? Revia, by quarter. Which will mean that we need to take off 256 from the 1,024. Which will leave us with, Pashu Zaymeh Vishita Vitamya, which will leave us with 768. But now we have a problem, ask the Gemara the other way. So now we don't have the number 1,024. The number 768. But we started this year that according to the Mishnah, it's 833. So yes, it's not more, but now it's less. Akati Pashlu Palga Damsa. Which means, if you take an area of 768 and you break it into amas, it'll be 14. But we said that the real number is 14 and a half. Says the Gemara, that's what we said, Hanu de Loidok. Which means, according to Ula explanation, when it's only 14 amma, you're going to start giving Bikurim, where really, you shouldn't start giving Bikurim until 14 and a half. So you end up giving Bikurim a half an hour, half an amma earlier, and that's L'chum Loidok. You end up giving Bikurim earlier than later, that's a Chumra, not a Kula. Ask Tosfos, nothing in life is a pure chumra, nothing in life is a pure kula. This is not a pure chumra. Why? Because says Taisus, the halacha is that from Bikurim, you don't have to give trumas and maestras. So now, let's say we'll have fruit that grows at the 14 amma, at the 14 amma mark. Learning our Gemara now, I'm going to use it for Bikurim. If I'm going to use this for Bikurim, I'm not going to give Trumas and Maisris. But really, it's not obligated in Bikurim, and it is obligated in Trumas and Maisris. So, it's not a Chumrah, it's a Kula, that I'm not giving Trumas and Maisris, where I ought to give Trumas and Maisris. So I saw that the Rishonim give two truths. One Teretz, Taisus gives. Taisus says, what Ula meant to say was, that you're never obligated to give Bikurim before 14 Amma. But not to say that at 14 you have to give. He really meant 14 and a half. Or 16 in a circle. That's Taisus Teretz. A little hard to understand. Another Teretz, very interesting Teretz, that the Mefarshim suggest. Yes, the halacha is that I'm not obligated to give Bikurim. But let's say I decide to give Bikurim. I can. I can give Bikurim where I'm not obligated to give. And it has the status of Bikurim, as long as it's not living off your field. And that's what Ula meant. Toshma. So the Gemara continues. Again, Ula keeps on teaching us 16 amas in a square, 14 amas in a circle is the amount that the tree needs. Those are the essential roots of a tree. It says in the Mishnah, according to Ilan v'Kakor, if somebody buys a tree with the area, with the character right on it, maybe Kairi. That, and then that tree gives fruit. When I bring that fruit, I have to bring Bikurim, and there's a Pashas Bikurim that I have to say. My life, Koshuhu, it says, Ilan v'Kakor. That means even if I don't have 16 Amma around the tree, it's considered my fruit that I have to be given Bikurim. But Ula keeps on teaching us that the first 16 Ammas of the roots need to be mine also. Says Marloi, Yudvav Amma. You need to have 16 Amma. Ask Taisus the obvious question. If what this Mishnah means is that I bought a tree and I own the 16 Ammas around the tree, that the fruit that the tree gives, I have to bring the Kurim, everybody knows that then. Well, what's the Mishnah coming to teach us? Answers Taisus, the Chiddush of the Mishnah is that the Chiddush of the Mishnah is that if I buy only one tree, I have to specifically stipulate with you as I buy the tree that I own the area around it. Otherwise, it doesn't automatically become mine. By two trees, however, the area around it automatically becomes mine unless it's stipulated the other way that it's not. Continues the Gemara. Toshma. Kanish Ne'elonis. Metach Shul Chaveroi. If I buy two trees in your property, maybe in a curry. That I bring Bikurim, but I can't say the parish Bikurim. Hashloisha, if I bought three trees, maybe the Kairi, that I could bring, even though my life, says the Gemara, a Kalshu. That even though I only own a Kalshu, a property, it's ready enough to bring Bikurim. Ula says I need 16 Amas. Says the Gemara, Hachanami, it's referring to a case where I own 16 Amas around the tree. So Taisus makes a very fascinating observation. Taisus says that the Gemara quotes the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that if two trees I don't bring, three trees I bring and I say the Parshas Bikurim. How does the Gemara come to that conclusion? By making a diik in the Mishnah. Ask Taisus, why do I have to make a diik in the Mishnah? Continue learning the Mishnah. The Mishnah says explicitly, Shnayim mevi ve'ena kaira, Shloisha mevi ve'kaira. So why does the Gemara have to make a diuk in the Reisha? Why doesn't just the Gemara quote explicitly the Sefer of the Mishnah? So Taisus says a tremendous chiddush. Taisus says, the Gemara prefers to ask a question from the Reisha of a Mishnah based on a diuk over an explicit Mishnah, which is the Sefer of the Mishnah. Chiddush. That's what Taisus says. Continues the Gemara. Tashma. Rav Kiva I'm a karka kolshu. If you have a karka just the size of a kolshu, chai bepeya. We know that one in the matnas kuna is peya. Matnas anim is peya. Ubi bikurim. The kolshim la prusbal. Rashi spends a little time discussing prusbal. So let's us discuss prusbal. Prusbal, we know that Shemitah, besides that the halacha in Shemitah is that we're not allowed to work the land in the Shemitah year, all loans get canceled in the Shemitah year. So Hillel saw that people refrain from lending other people money because Shemitah comes and all the loans are canceled. So he made up that you should write a prosbul which says that that the loiva is handing over to Beis Din the obligation, and then the loan is not subject to Prosbol. There are Rishonim, not the opinion of most Rishonim, but just to quote it, there are Rishonim to say that this Takan of Hillel, because if you think about it, Hillel went and just wiped out the whole parasha of Shemitah's Ksofim. Only applies Bizman HaZeh with Shemitah's Bidrabotim. Most Rishonim disagree, because Shemitah's Ksofim is not, according to many Rishonim, Bizman HaZeh the Rabbonim. Shemitah's Kark is the Rabbonim. Shemitah's Ksofim is the Raisa. And yes, Hillel came up with a solution how to avoid the problem of people not lending each other money. Why do you need Karka to make a loan? So there's two pshatim in the Rishonim. One pshat in the Rishonim is that it was very uncommon for people to lend money to each other without having real estate as collateral. And Hillel only said it when there's karka involved. Others explain that you're actually giving over the karka to Beis Din. So you need karka to give it over to Beis Din. What's the nafkamina? The first pshat is Rashi's pshat. The second pshat is the Rashi's pshat. What's the nafkamina between the pshatim? Is let's say I wrote a prosbul. I lent you money and we wrote a prosbul. But by the time Shemitah, I'm quoting to most Rishonim, the loans are canceled not at the beginning of Shemitah, but the last day of Shemitah. By the time that day came, the loiva no longer has any property. Will the prosbul be effective? If the reason for the karka is because that's considered a typical loan, so it doesn't make a difference if you still have it or not. If, however, it's based because you're giving over the karka to Beis Din, then the day you're giving it over is the day where Shemitah takes effect. And if the loiva doesn't have karka that day, the loan would not be effective. The Shar Mitzion Balacha, I saw quote the Rishonim that say, let's say you're the loiva, I'm the malva, I want to write a prosbul, so the loan should not be canceled, but you don't own any real estate. So what do we do? So he says that the halacha is that the malva could give a small piece of real estate, small piece of property to the loiva, and like that, write the prosbul. In fact, he says this is the basis for halacha. We know that rabbonim do mechiras chametz. They're selling the chametz to the goy, but the goy is supposed to put down a deposit when he buys the chametz. Then, if after Pesach, either he pays up the rest, or the deal becomes void. Let's say the guy doesn't have any money. The halacha is the rav is allowed to give the guy the money to put down as a deposit for the mechiras chametz, just like the malva is allowed to give the loiva karka for the prosbul. So the Mishnah the Gemara is quoting, and that's really what's relevant to our sugya, says that even a piece of karka kol shehu is enough to write a prosbul on. And the Rishonim here to debate, why is a karka kol shehu enough? One explanation is because karka, as we learned in Masechet Bava Metzia, even though there's a din of aynor, that everything has a fixed price, real estate doesn't have a fixed price. There's no aynor by karka. So even a piece of karka kol shehu, it may, in our mind, now not be worth much, but the price of real estate in this area could skyrocket. And therefore, even though it's a kol shehu, it could be very valuable. Even though the Rishonim ask, if Rashi was concerned about something not being common, isn't this not common, that if you buy a small piece of property that's barely worth anything today, it'll shoot up in value? So they answer that even Rashi will agree, once it's karka, we can't start evaluating the value of every piece of karka. Another pshat that the Rishonim suggest is one piece of karka could become extremely valuable. Why? Let's say you owe me money. Let's say you owe me $10,000. And as we said earlier, there's a lien on all the real estate you have. And you have a piece of real estate that's only worth $100. So you don't have cash to pay me, I take the real estate. Let's say you go and buy back the real estate for me. I could take that piece of karka back, because you only pay me up $100. You still owe me $9,900. And we could keep on going back and forth until you pay me up the whole $10,000 with this one piece of karka. And that's why, even by one small piece of karka, it could have a lot of value. So karka kol shehu is enough to write a prosbul on it. Tosfos, interestingly, says that there's a machloikis, Al Gemara doesn't have it. What should be the next word in the Braisa? There is a girsa, Al Gemara doesn't have it because Rashi says it shouldn't be here, is vidui. Which means we know that at the end of in the fourth year and in the seventh year, one had to make sure that all of the trumas and maestras he had to give were given, and then he says a parsha of vidui maestra. And the Gemara, according to the girsa, which we don't have, says that you don't say vidui maestra unless you own a piece of property. Rashi says it shouldn't be here, because vidui maestra could be said without owning any property. The obligation of vidui maestra is that you have to give the maestras. You don't have to own property. Which I saw actually is the basis for a psak of the Shoyle Meshiv, question that comes up. Let's say there's a fast day, and the person is not fasting for whatever reason, he's not able to fast. The question that comes up is, can he still say Aneinu? Because part of the nusach of the Aneinu is that you say B'yoyim Tzoyim Tanaseinu. But if you're not fasting, it's not Yoyim Tzoyim Tanaseinu. Says the Shoyle Meshiv. If Rashi says that you could say Vidui Maisa, even though you don't own any property, and in the parish of Vidui Maisa it says Artzicha, the land that I own. So you see, you don't have to own land. It just means their Klai Yisrael owns land. It's enough to say Vidui Maisa. The same thing, even though if I'm not fasting, but if it's a fast day, it's good enough to say Yom Tzayim Tanaseinu, and even someone not fasting, according to the Shoyle Meshiv, could say Yom Tzayim Tanaseinu. It's a subject of debate. Somebody should ask the Rav. Many Paisvim say that you shouldn't say Aneinu if you're not fasting. Paisvim says we can keep the Girsa of Vidui because it doesn't mean Vidui Meiser. Vidui Meiser, Taisvim agrees with Rashi. You could say even if you don't own any property, but the Mikra Bikurim that we discussed, that you have to say the Parashas Bikurim, Vira Halacha is you can't say it if you don't own property. And that's what the Braisa means, that if you want to be able, when you bring the Bikurim, to actually say the parish of Mikra Bikurim, you have to own property, Kol Shehu. Furthermore, continues the Mishnah, the Braisa, the nickname on the Chosin Sheela Mechrayis. We've spoken many times about a Kinyan Agav. There are different types of Kinyanim that are effective for Karka and are effective for Metaltlin. And the Braisa is teaching us that to do a Kinyan Agav, which means that we do a kinyan on the karka, and all metaplin that can be nicknam agav that, a piece of karka kosher was enough. But what does it clearly say here, what's relevant to our sugya, is that you only need to have karka kosher to affect, to say bikurim. Ayula keeps on talking about 16 amma. How do we understand this brisa? Answers the Gemara, hachim ma'iskinen, this brisa referring to chiti. Because one of the things you bring back bikurim from a grain. When did Ula speak about 16 amma? Ula spoke about 16 amma by a tree. Grain, there's no need for 16 amma. And they could name the kind of kol shehu. Does anybody suggest that a kol shehu, says the Gemara, is enough for a tree to live on? It must be chitim grain. There Ula doesn't have this number. Toshma. So the Gemara brings another raya. You have a tree that's partially in Eretz Yisrael and partially in Chutz La'aretz. Says the Braisa, Teva v'chulin m'rovin zeh b'zeh. So this tree, the fruit that grows from it, the part that's in Eretz Yisrael is Teva, is m'chuyiv and trumas ma'isers. The part that in Chutz La'aretz, Teva v'chulin m'rovin zeh b'zeh. Divrei Rebbe. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Hagol b'chiyiv chayiv. The fruits that grow on the Israeli side, achayiv and trumas amaisus, hagol b'ptor potter. And the parts that grow on chutz la'aretz are potter. Says the Gemara. At Kan, the tie and machloikes between Rebbe and Rav Shimon Gamliel as the mass of a yesh breira or mass of a ein breira. And as the Chazanish tells us, this is not the classical example of breira that we have throughout Shas. What breira means here is that we could distinguish this is separate and this is separate. But avagol b'ptor, the part that grows in chutz la'aretz, if we were able to identify which is that part, Rebbe says we can't. But if we were able to identify it, even he would agree it's potter. How could it be potter? It's the tree is right on the border between Israel and Chutz La'aretz. So isn't this tree getting nutrition from Eretz Yisrael? And Ula tells us that nutrition goes to 16 Amis. So it certainly should be considered Israeli fruit. Answers the Gemara, Hachem Ma'iskinen, the Masik Tsunma. There's a wall, there's a rack on the bottom that prevents nutrition from traveling from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz and vice versa. Ask the Gemara, Yehochi my time of the Rebbe. So why does Rebbe say that you're potter? The Israeli part should be chayiv, because it's getting nutrition strictly from Israel, and the Chutz La'aretz part should be completely potter. The Hadar Avri. What happens is, the Gemara, you have the roots under the earth are separate. Why are they separate? Because of the tsunma, there's a rack dividing these two lands. But then the trunk, there's only one trunk, the Hada Arvi. Then those, and that trunk mixes it together. And that's the Machloikis. Or Maikamifki, what is the Machloikis between Rebbe and Rav Shimon Gamliel? Masover, Avir Mabalbo. Even though underground, by the roots, they're totally separate. Rebbe says, since the trunk mixes it up, we can't consider this neither Eretz Yisrael digger produce nor Chutz La'aretz digger produce. Or Masava, Hai L'chudeikoi V'Hai L'chudeikoi. Since they're underground separate, even though there is only one trunk to this tree, they remain separate. What grows on the Eretz Yisrael digger side is Chayiv. What grows on the Chutz La'aretz digger side is Pata. So the Chazon Ish helps us qualify the Machlaikas. He says that the machlokes between Rebbe and Rav Shimon Gamliel is in a specific situation where underground is a rack separating the roots between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. Then there's one trunk, and then there are separate branches. Some branches in Chutz La'aretz, and some branches in Eretz Yisrael. But he says, what would be the halacha if not only were there the one trunk, but all the fruit was coming off, there's only... It's a rare occurrence. There was only one branch to this tree, and that one branch was all the fruit was growing on that one branch, with part of the branch in Eretz Yisrael and part of the branch in Chutz La'aretz. There, says the Chazon Ish, there would be no machlokes. Everybody would agree that those fruits are a combination of Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz growth, even though underground there's a tsunma, and you can't bring tumas and maestros from that. Ask the Bar Yitzchak, why is this not considered a situation of Zeves Agoyrim? The halacha is, throughout, in halacha, those are a little familiar with your day, you know there's a concept of Zeves Agoyrim, that if something is made a combination of some that's kosher and not kosher, Zeves Agoyrim is not considered treif. So why isn't this considered a situation of Zeves Agoyrim? So I saw three answers to this question. One answer is Zeves Agoyrim. We don't say Zeves Agoyrim where each thing could have created the results by itself. Here, this fruit could have grown from the Eretz Yisrael side itself, or from the Chutz La'aretz side itself. There we don't say Zeves Agoyrim. Another teretz is Zeves Agoyrim travels together with Bittel Beroiv. By Tevel, we don't say Bittel. Why don't we say Bittel by Tevel? Because Tevel is a Dovah Sheish Le'Matirim. You could always take off Trumas and Maestras. Wherever we have a Dovah Sheish Le'Matirim, there's no Bittel, and the Paiskim suggest that Zeves Agoyrim, it's a complicated concept which I don't have time for now, travels together with Bittel. That teretz is from Rav Shimon Shkop. Rav Aaron Kotler says a different teretz. He says, the fruit is fruit. You know, a fruit doesn't grow as Tevel. The fruit is a fruit. After the fruit that grows in Eretz Yisrael comes out, now it gets the shame Tevel. That's not Zeves Agoyrim. Zeves Agoyrim means from its inception. There's a beautiful vart that I saw. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he wanted to prove that the Kairach Vadosai were not acting properly, he said, bring a carbon mincha. All of you will bring a carbon mincha. And the portion of the carbon mincha that came from you will not be burnt, and the rest of the carbon mincha will be burnt. And the question that the Mefarsha HaTorah asked is, why strictly a Karban Mincha? Why not any? Most Kabbalists are not a Karban Mincha. So the Mefarsha answered based on our Gemara. What's the difference between a carbon mincha and a carbon brought from an animal? An animal you can't divide. The animal, the heart of the animal, you need the whole heart to live. So if they would live, if they brought part of the animal, so part of the heart belongs to them. You can't separate the heart. Just like you can't separate the roots of a tree unless there's a tzunma dividing them. A carbon mincha is flour. One kernel of flour doesn't need the other kernel of flour to survive. And that's why there we could say Ein Breira, and Moshe Rabbeinu said strictly bring a carbon mincha. Ask the Gemara, v'sheish esrei amma v'suloi, is the shear just 16 amas? And no more, v'tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, the mechikim is ilim in a bar. How much does a tree have to be distanced from a pit? Chof hei amma. So we have a question. Here we're talking about 16 amma. Our Mishnah said 25 amma. Answers the Gemara, Amar Abaya, nezel tuva azli. They go more than 25 amma. However, the 16 amma, achushi le mechushi, al ad sheis asri amma, tfei le mechashi. Which means, the roots travel for 25 amas, but the primary nutrition are not 25, but only 16. Says the Gemara, chiyos rav dimi, obim amma, bamine rish lakish mir rav yoichan, ilach hasomach lemeitza, betoich yudvav amma. If I have a tree growing near your property within 16 amas, mahu, amalei, gazlan hu, if my tree is getting nutrition, if the first 16 amas of the root of my tree is getting nutrition off your property without permission, I am a gazlan, and therefore, a mevim imen epikurim. Kiyas raven amar, echet ilan ha-samach lemeitzer, vech ilan ha-noiti, mevi vikairei, that you can bring Bikurim, even though my tree's roots are going into your property. Shemanas kein hincha Yeshua Yisrael is aretz. Yeshua, when he divided up at Yisrael, said that people can bring Bikurim under these circumstances. And there's a very big machlokes rishonim. How to understand Yeshua's tanai, and that machlokes has relevant to the Girsa and Al Gemara. Rashi says, a very interesting Rashi. Rashi says that when Yeshua divided up Eretz Yisrael, he said he made up with all of Klal Yisrael that if the roots of my tree go into your property, vice versa, lo yakpidu zal zeh, we shouldn't care. Which is a hard Rashi to understand. Because how could Yeshua legislate my feelings? And therefore other Rishonim say, it wasn't Yeshua said, don't care, you won't care. I don't care. It does bother me. They explain Yeshua said that that's considered artzicha. That my property, my tree, as long as it's my tree, even though it's getting nutrition off your property, it doesn't lose the shame, it doesn't lose the status of being artzicha. What's the nafkamina between these two opinions in the Rishonim? There's a machloikis, as I said in Girsos, of mevi v'kairi. Do you say the Mikra Bikurim? According to Rashi, the Gemara says you can't say Mikra Bikurim. Because at the end of the day, it depends on my Kpeda, on your Kpeda, and Yeshua can't force us not to be Makbid. He could say bring Bikurim. That he has every right to do. But he can't say not to be Makbid. So maybe bring the Bikurim, we can't say Atzicha with a clear conscience. But if we say Pshana what Yeshua did, with the koich of Hefker, Bezd, and Hefker, is that this becomes Aretzicha. If the tree grew on your property, even though the roots went onto your neighbor's property, doesn't change that this is Aretzicha, then the curse of Mevi Kairi is very correct. Says the Mishnah, if my tree is going into your property, koitzitz molay hamarda agaba machrisha. You could cut, you have a right to cut, the amount that it blocks your cows and your plow from working. Let's say my carob tree, my sycamore tree, which have a lot of branches, which is a plumb line. They used to make a line straight across the bottom of the tree, and anything that goes along that line, you could cut. Who pays for the cutting? So the Mefarshim say that we have to both cut together. Beis HaShalchin, let's say your field is a Beis HaShalchin that doesn't rely on rainwater. It relies on you watering it. Then Kala Ilan Kenegra Meshkoilis. Any tree could be cut. Why? So I saw two pshatim. One pshat is because it needs whatever rainwater it gets. And therefore, the thick if there are branches blocking the rain from coming onto the field, you could cut the branches. Or another pshat is it needs the sunlight. And therefore, the branches are blocking the sunlight, you could cut it. Abishalaima, and the Gemara is going to discuss Abishal's opinion, call Ilan Sirak and Negerim Shkailas. Ask the Gemara immediately to try to understand Abishal's opinion. Ibailu, how do we understand Abishal's opinion? Abishal Areshakai or Seifakai? Doesn't mean the Tanakhama said that you cut Mole Marda, Chutz Micharev Vishikma, that besides Bechar Vishikma, you cut the amount that that the person go with the plow, comes along, Abishol, and says that, and that, in other words, the Tanakhama said, every tree we cut Kamali Marda. Shchor v'shikma, we cut Kenegra Mishkailis, and comes along, Abishol, and says that Elon Srak has the same din. Elon Srak has the same din as Shchor v'shikma, and you cut Kenegra Mishkailis. So in other words, according to this, Abishol is teaching us a kula, that Elon Srak has the same din as a Chor v'shikma. I asked the Gemara, Abishol is going on the Sefer. The Tanakhama says that if it's a Beis HaShalchin, you could cut any tree, Kenegra Mishkailis, as we explained, because Beis HaShalchin, we need those branches to be removed. Comes along and Abishol and says, no, not every tree. Only by Elon Srak will I let you cut those branches, but not by every tree. According to this explanation, Abishol is a machmer. The Tanakhama is saying, every tree of a Beis HaShalchin, you could cut the branches, and Abishol is saying, no, only the Elon Srak. So how do we understand Abishol's opinion? Toshma, so the Gemara quotes a Braisa. The Tanya Beis HaShalchin, when it comes to Beis HaShalchin, Abishol and Kalal Elon Kenegra Mishpailis, every tree could be cut according to the Mishkailis line. When they shut sail, as we explained, the too much branches, Ra'al Beis HaShalchin. So it's obvious that Abishol agrees with the Tan of our Mishnah, but a Beis HaShalchin. So where is Abishol arguing? It's arguing in the Reisha. Shema Mino, a Reisha Koi Shema Mino. Says the Gemara, Amar Ashi, if you really study the words of our Mishnah, says Rav Ashi, Masnisa Namideka. The Mishnah clearly shows us that Abishol is referring to the Reisha. The Tani, Abishol said, call Elon Srak. So Abishol doesn't just use the word Elon Srak. He adds the word call. What is he trying to say with that word? That the Tanakhama spoke only about Chor v'shikma, and tells us Abishol, no, don't limit this dindafka to Chor v'shikma. Call Elon Srak. All Elon Srak should have that din. Eli Yamrita Sefer, if we could say that Abishol is talking about the Sefer, Elon Srak mi boile, he should have said the word Elon Srak. That the Tanakhama said all trees in the base of Shalchan should be cut. And Abishol says, no, not all, just the Elon Srak. So the word ko would be inappropriate for him to use. And that Abishol is coming to teach us a kula over the Tanakhama. The Tanakhama said that only Chor v'shikma in a non-base of Shalchan field should be cut, Kenegra Mishkailis. And Abishol says that Elon Srak has the same halacha. Continues the Mishnah. Elon Shunayt L'Shus Rabim. If the tree hanging over Shus Rabim, kaitzitz, you could cut the tree, kadei she'egayim al'ayver rachmai, that a person riding on a camel can pass. Rabbi Hudaymer, gomel talan pishtin. He says it has to be able, it's a little more, he's carrying linen, a chavila zemiris, who's carrying bundles of wood. Rav Shimon Aymer, Kali Elon Kenegan Mishkailis, Mneatumma, he's concerned that there shouldn't be any tumma. The Gemara is going to explain it in a moment. Says the Gemara, Man Tana, who is the Tana, the Benazokim, when it comes to assess Hezek, Bosa Umdin Nahashtan as Linen. We look at the current problem. Amr Rish Lakish, says Rish Lakish, actually, it's a subject of a machlokes. Rav Lezehi. The Tanan, ein oisin chol tachas rishus rabim, boris sichon amaris. One is not allowed to make a pit in rishus rabim. Rav Lezehi matter. Rav Lezehi says you can. As long as if the wagon goes and it's carrying stone and it's strong enough to hold it, we don't have to worry. So what do we see? That according to Rabbi Elazar, right now you don't have a problem. It's a strong enough ditch. What's your concern? That maybe ultimately the cover of this hole of this pit will weaken. So the Tanakhama says, yes, don't make a pit there. Because the hole, the covering may weaken, and you can end up having a hezek. Rav Elazar says, right now the wagon could go without any damage. I don't have to worry about what could be. So we started this piece of Gemara wanting to know who is the opinion, who is the mandamah that holds, that we only have to look at what the current situation is. It's obviously Rav Elazar, says the Gemara. I feel tam rabbanan. Him, hasam, zimnan de mefkas ulavadatei. There, there's a situation that the cover of the pit may deteriorate, and as we've been learning, something in Rishus Rabim there's nobody really taking full responsibility, and you'll have a problem. Hocha kama kama kaitzle. Whereas here, you can keep on cutting the tree; you don't have to worry, and therefore I don't have to worry about cutting more than I need. So therefore, it could well be that everybody agrees. We look at the current situation, and the raya is our Mishnah, which says you cut as much as it is today, even though it may grow further. When it grows further, I'll cut it then. Rabbi Yehuda Megomel Tom Pishtin, Achavil Ismaris. Iberlehu. Ask the Gemara. Shiud Rabbanu Yehuda, the Rabbi Yehuda Nafish, or Dama Shiud Rabbanu Nafish? Which is the largest shear? The person going on the camel, riding on the camel, or the camel carrying the load? Says the Gemara. Shiud to the Shiud Rabbanu Nafish. It's obvious that the Rabbanan shear is larger. These Sakadatu shear the Rabbanan Yehuda Nafish, if we're going to say that Rabbi Yehuda's shear is larger, Rabbanan Rabbi Shuda Rabbi Yehuda Hechavdi, so what's going to happen if you're going to have a camel with that shear? What will the Rabbanan say? Says the Gemara, so how did you answer the question? Elamai, so you're saying the shear the Rabbanan Nafish. The shear of a person riding on a camel is a bigger shear, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbanan, you have a right to cut off more branches than according to Rabbanan. So ask the Gemara, Elmai, Shiur the Rabbanan Nafish. The Rabbanan shear is a bigger shear than the shear of the Rabbi Yehuda. So ask the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda, Shiur the Rabbanan my Ovid. What are they going to do in that case? According to Rabbi Yehuda, you could only cut the mount for a wagon with a load. According to Rabbanan, you have a larger amount. The mount for the wagon with its rider. So what's Rabbi Yehuda going to do when you have a camel with somebody riding on it, and the branches are hanging over, and he can't get through? So Rabbi Yehuda says he's not concerned about it. Even though it's a legitimate concern, he's not concerned about it. Why? Efter the gof of a cholof to say, which means as follows. A load doesn't have any brains. So if the camel's carrying the load, it's too heavy, and there's nobody that knows how to maneuver. A person may be a bigger shear, but if the person sees that the branches are blocking him, what will he do? He'll put his head down. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, that's not a legitimate reason why we have to cut your tree. We're concerned that there may be something tamei on the street, and then if the tree hangs over, we have a situation now of oil atoma, and the person passing under the tree will be in the oil atoma and become tamei. Says the Gemara, shita. What's the Gebraisa teaching us that we didn't see from the Mishnah? The Mishnah said, "Bnei Atoma Tanan." Answers the Gemara, "Im Masnisin Have a Mina Dilma Maisi Orf Tuma V'Shadi Hasan." If we just learned the Mishnah, we would learn that the concern of the Mishnah is not that there's Tuma on the ground under the tree. The concern is that there's Tuma in the tree, that a bird dropped a Kazayis Mina Mais on the branches of the tree, and now if I walk under those branches, I will be tamei. If that was the concern, so you don't have to cut off the branches. The sagale but the chululi ba'alma. For that, you don't have to cut the branches. Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, what the chululi ba'alma means. Rashi says, chululi means you just have to thin out the branches, that there aren't enough branches in any one spot that could hold the tumah that you put on it. Taisus says, Chululi means a scarecrow. If you're worried that a bird is going to deposit something tamei on the tree, so put up a scarecrow on the tree, and it will keep the birds away. Kamash Malan, that the concern is not the tumah on the branches, the concern is the tumah under the branches. If the concern is that there's tumah under the branches, so now you have to cut off the branches, that we shouldn't have somebody walking under those branches, and under that will end up being in the oil of a tumah.